This is Adam Carter from the WCCO Newsroom. WCCO Radio and the Star Tribune partnered to host a forum called Safe at School. Twin Cities High School students speak out on guns. We brought five local high school students together to talk about guns and safety in schools. I moderated the panel along with Denise Johnson, who's on the editorial board at the Star Tribune.
School safety and gun violence concerns have taken center stage in the national conversation following the horrific Valentine's Day mass shooting in Parkland, Florida. Seven people, 15 of them students, were gunned down and killed at Douglas High School in a matter of minutes. And their deaths, along with a long list of other school shootings in recent years, have driven young people across the country to say, enough. By the thousands, they were taking to the streets and speaking up and speaking out. And though many of them are too young to vote themselves, they're challenging elected officials to go well beyond offering thoughts and prayers when gun-related tragedy strike their schools. At the same time, there are young people who, like many adults, don't believe that stronger gun control is the answer to safer schools. Today, we'll learn more about what's behind this youthful surge of concern and activism. We've assembled a group of five high school students from across the Twin Cities metro area to speak their minds about guns, gun violence, and school safety. I'm Denise Johnson, an editorial writer for the Star Tribune editorial board, and I'll be co-moderating our conversation with metro area teenagers.
And my name is Adam Carter from WCCO Radio. I'll also be co-moderating our discussion, and a big thanks to both WCCO Radio and the Star Tribune for holding this discussion, as well as our five students here with us. We appreciate your time. Let's introduce our students with us today. Damon Brown, he is a senior at Minneapolis North High School. He's a Northside Achievement Zone scholar who will attend the youth-organized March for Our Lives rally in Washington, D.C. on March 24th. Adrian Ali Kakamo is a junior at St. Paul Central. He helped organize the 17-minute walkout at his school on March 15th and is lobbying to pass state-level gun control legislation. Eva Hajiyamas is a junior at Edina High School. She has lobbied at the Capitol with the group Moms Demand Action on gun control issues and is staying informed about her school's actions to increase security with new locks and locked door policies.
Our next student is Kariana Spencer. She's a junior at Orono High School. She's editor of her school newspaper. Following the mass shootings in Las Vegas last year, Kari wrote an article on gun control for her school newspaper. And we have Walter Treat, a senior at Holy Family Catholic High School in Victoria, Minnesota. He's a member of his school's trap shooting team and wrote a Star Tribune letter to the editor that supported Second Amendment rights. So let's begin. I'd like to hear from you all about how you feel personally at your schools. You come from a variety of schools in the metro area. Do you feel safe there? Do you feel safe from gun violence at your school? And have you changed anything that you do following these terrible school shootings that we've had in recent months and years? And I'll start with you. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm Adrian, and I go to Central High School in St. Paul. And Central High School has been in the news a lot in the last few years, and a lot of times it's for very negative news. And a lot of the public schools in our cities, St. Paul and Minneapolis, get a lot of bad representation. And there's a lot of people who have an idea that these schools are dangerous. And although I very much support increased gun legislation and gun control, I do not feel unsafe in my school. I feel safe in my school. I feel that it's a good learning environment. And so I support increasing legislation, but it doesn't come from a place of personal fear.
Thanks. We'll hear from another one of you.
I'll go next. My name is Damon Brown, and I go to North High School in Minneapolis. And me personally, I do feel comfortable at my school to a certain extent because the staff at my school, they actually care about us, and they are willing to protect, and they know how to take precautions, and they're aware of the situation.
I'm Eva. I go to Edina High School. I agree. I feel safe at my school most of the time, but especially after the Parkland shooting, I've really come to terms with the fact that we are not completely safe at our public high schools or private high schools. So even though Edina High School is most of the time a really safe environment, I know that there's more that we can do to make every student feel safe there.
Do any of you look at the exits. Do all of your schools have drills of any kind in case something like this happens? Do you look at how you come and go from your school or think about ways to exit should something happen if you're in your classroom?
I'm Walter. I go to Holy Family. And I'd say that, you know, when stuff like this happens, you can't help but think about what you would do if that situation were to happen. And it's generally a good idea to have escape plans in general in case of some other emergency like a fire or other disaster. But realistically, for most people, nearly all people, in fact, it's not going to end up being an issue for them. And, you know, so I'd say maybe I look at it a bit differently, but that doesn't change what I do very much or what I think needs to be done.
I'm Kari Spencer from Orono High School. Well, for me, I remember the first shooting that really made an imprint on me was the Colorado shooting, the Aurora, Colorado movie theater shooting a while back. And so since then, I've always been aware of what's near me and what I could use to protect myself. And so I think the Parkland shooting kind of brought the gun control debate again to the front of the nation, but at the same time, there have been so many instances before that that it hasn't really changed because I've been thinking about it for a while.
And I just to follow up, we had the threat at Orono not long after the Parkland shooting. Can you tell me how that impacted you and your fellow students? Did it get anybody thinking differently?
Yeah. So I go to a very sheltered high school, and so we've always felt very safe there. Never really felt like there would be a threat there. Anytime you hear a story on the news, you always think, that's not going to be me. So when there was the threat, it made us all realize that this is a problem that could happen anywhere in the nation. And so one instance after that threat that I remember really clearly is a few days after, and my principal came on the loudspeaker like halfway through the school day, which isn't normal. He was talking about a sports team going to state, but I looked around and everybody's eyes, like there was fear there.
Let's talk about what schools are doing right now. Are there things that your school is doing well or not doing enough of that you think needs to be changed as a result of the recent things that are happening? I'm talking about drills, practice drills, physical changes, more security at doors. Does your school have armed security officers? Would you like to see more of that? And even talking about arming teachers has been brought up by some people. Is that something that you'd welcome, or is that something you would not like to see? I guess let's start right here at the end.
I'm Eva, and ever since the Parkland shooting, there have been some differences in my school. My school has started to have more security. Before that, you could walk into the school at most entrances without an ID, just walk right in. So now we have seen that change a little bit. One thing that I would like to see a little bit more of is a few more drills. That I can remember, we've only had one lockdown, stay put drill this year. I know that the administration has talked to the student body saying that we're going to have more of those, especially during lunch or during other times to prepare for any situation, but we haven't really seen that yet.
Well, so I go to Central. I'm Adrian. And for all the time I'd been at Central, pretty much all the doors were easy to get into. They were locked from the outside, but students could open them from the inside, and people could get in and out of the school. And actually, just today, this morning, they changed how the policy is going to work. So the doors will still be locked from the outside, except for the main door at the top of the steps. But they're setting up alarm systems and camera systems so that if those doors are opened from the inside during the school day, it will set off an alarm, and students will be punished for that. As for drills, I'm conflicted on this because on one hand, I think that drills are important, and it's always important to be prepared and understand what to do in a scenario. But I also think that school is supposed to be a safe learning environment where students feel comfortable, and I think there's an extent to which drills hinder that and end up leading to just more fear and paranoia. So I think it's an interesting balance there.
Mm-hmm. I'm Walter from Holy Family. And yeah, kind of what Adrian was saying, there definitely is a limit to how much stuff you want to put in place in order to maintain security. Obviously, you want some, but you can't ever make a situation be 100% safe 100% of the time. So there has to be a point where you decide, okay, this is safe enough. We have precautions in place. We have some drills sometimes, and it's not super easy to get in. And that's generally good policy, regardless of mass shootings or not, to have decent security at schools.
Damon, what's your take on this?
My name is Damon Brown from North High School. My school, we have one main entrance that's always locked. Not always locked, but when you first come in, it's locked. Or it's unlocked from the inside and outside. But as the school day goes on, they might lock it from just the where you can only exit, you can't enter. So, and most of the time, all the other doors are locked. So I personally feel safe to a certain extent, but we could always, you know, be safe, take more precautions, and we don't necessarily have the appropriate amount of drills. We should have more, you know, scheduled drills, I think, and just to be on the safe side of things.
What do most of you, do all of your schools have school resource officers, a police officer in the school? Do all of you?
Yeah. Mine,
Walter,
doesn't technically have a school resource officer, but there's a, one of the cops from the Carver County Sheriff's Department ends up spending a lot of time there.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, you could turn to him if there was a problem.
Actually.
He'd be there. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. tell me what you think about having school resource officers in your schools.
I'll go first. Damon from North Minneapolis. I feel like at my school, our school resource officer, his name is Officer Adams, and he is also a football head coach. And I feel like that helps a lot because that builds relationships with the students so they can have someone to trust and they know they have that relationship built, which is, I think, is very important for anything.
I'm Kari from Orono High School. Our school resource officer, I don't know if this is standard across various high schools, but he makes an effort to get to know all of the students, kind of. So, like, he has an accurate picture of what certain students are like. So, like, if there is, I don't know, suspicious activity, he would kind of have a clue about that, which does make me feel safer.
So you think having them, most of you think having them in the schools is a good idea?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think it's really a problem. Even though they are armed, I haven't heard of any cases where that has been a problem. It's usually just something to make kids feel safer, even though they can't be everywhere at once, so it cannot be the only solution to the gun violence problem.
What about the topic of arming teachers? Do you all feel comfortable with that? Is it something that you don't think should happen? Have you given much thought to it? Arming teachers, what about that question? I guess, Walter, you want to start with that?
You know, it depends on what you mean by arming teachers. Like, the school district's, like, buying guns and giving them to teachers. That's obviously not a wise use of resources. But if, say, teachers who already have gone through training to get concealed carry permits were out to have that at school as well, I don't see that leading to any big issues. So,
I'm Adrian. I go to Central, and I'm very much against the idea of arming teachers, even though for the vast majority of teachers, they're trustworthy adults, and it is unlikely that something bad would happen. Just having the teacher have a weapon in the classroom changes the dynamic of a classroom setting drastically. And even though for many teachers, the students would feel safe and comfortable with them, for a lot of people, guns are scary. And knowing that your teacher has a weapon, even if there's someone you trust, suddenly changes how you feel in that classroom setting.
Right, and I think that kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier about going to school and it feeling like a safe place and, you know, learning being your priority. So I think when a teacher is standing at the front of the room and they know that they have a gun with them and they know that, like, there's a chance they're going to have to use it, then that's always going to be blocking, it's always going to be a block in their mind, something they have to think about. And I also think, you know, having teachers already do so much for us. And so to expect them to have to be our protectors just doesn't seem very fair to me.
Damon from North Minneapolis, and I think the school resource officer, the one gun, I think that's enough, but I do think that the teachers should have some type of enforcement, like physical enforcement, and I got this idea from my history teacher, Ms. Bauman, shout out, and she said that that she would feel more comfortable with like something less harsh, like bear pepper spray or something, like something to not to be like not to be a sorry, like a wimp or anything, but you know, something that they could, you know, use to be safe and comfortable.
A less lethal.
Yeah, exactly. Lethal.
Something to immobilize someone if they're
exactly
doing something wrong. Any other thoughts on that?
I just think adding that many more guns to schools really isn't the solution, because it opens up a lot of options for kids who might be able to get a gun from their teacher now, or for if a gun were to accidentally go off and hurt someone. Just having that option there, it's more likely to hurt more people than to help people.
I would actually disagree with, even if it's less lethal, something like pepper spray, I still don't think that a teacher having that is necessary, because once again, it's some sort of harmful device. And also, what happens when a teacher is in a situation where two students in their class get in some sort of minor scuffle, and now they have some sort of device that could theoretically be used? I feel like that changes the dynamic of the classroom, and it also would open up the opportunity of leading to situations where it gets inappropriately used or accidentally used, and I feel as though it would cause more harm than potential good.
Thank you. I'm wondering if we can talk some about the kind of action that you'd like to see either our state legislature or Congress at the federal level take when it comes to things like, it's getting a lot of conversation and discussion, universal background checks, banning assault-style weapons, such as the one that was used in Parkland, those kinds of things. Could you give me your ideas and your thoughts about what should change in your view, or should the laws that we have remain the same?
Well, I'm Walter from Holy Family, and there are definitely some laws that could be changed or put in place. A lot of people have talked about gun violence prevention orders, where a court can, upon the request of somebody, you know, following due process, take away somebody's guns if they've been shown to be a threat to others or themselves. I think that's fair. Somebody who can be reasonably shown in a court to be incompetent with firearms shouldn't be allowed to have them. And there's other measures that can be taken, like improving coordination between law enforcement agencies, which, had it happened, the Parkland shooting would not have happened. But other laws don't really work very well, or are very broad and infringe on the rights of people who have nothing to do with these tragedies. And stuff like the so-called assault weapon bans, the really take a vague list of features and make those guns criminal or illegal without any real rational basis behind them. And people who haven't done anything wrong, their ability to buy guns should not be restricted by that.
What do some of the others think?
I would actually disagree with Walter. I think that there is almost no reason that someone would need an assault-style semi-automatic weapon. It's not really a defensive weapon, and it's not a weapon that's used in hunting, really. It's just a weapon that people have. I don't see really why it would be a bad thing to have harsher laws, at least making the age higher for that kind of weapon.
Can we get a definition for assault weapon?
Well, we're thinking of the ones that fire rapidly, that are designed to fire rapidly. And there, I don't know all of the different kinds of weapons that there are, but there certainly are some that have been in the past banned because of that rapid fire ability.
All right.
I would support a number of different steps in terms of gun legislation and controlling this issue, but I'll talk about the universal background checks. I've been co-coordinating a group of students. We've connected with students all across the state in terms of pressuring legislators to pass a universal background check bill. The group I was co-coordinating was in communication with Matt Little before he released, before he authored that bill, I've gone to the legislature and met with a whole bunch of different legislators. And that's a bill that is, I see no reason why we should not pass that bill. It's almost universally supported by the public. Pinto's bill and Little's bill, in my opinion, it's ridiculous that those didn't even get a hearing. They at least deserve the chance to be debated publicly. They're widely supported. And so right now, background checks are not required on sales that are online or through gun sales, or sorry, through gun shows. And I see no reason why we should not require a background check on every sale of a weapon that could so easily kill so many people.
Other thoughts then? Restricting certain types of weapons?
Yeah, I agree with most of you guys. I was reading, I like to read my oppositions, how they feel about things. And one of the arguments from the NRA is that they say that anyone, like a professional, can just get a gun, get a non-semi-automatic weapon and do the same things, as they can be just as quick as a semi-automatic weapon. But that's not necessarily our argument. My personal argument is I believe that we should limit the number of people by having stricter background checks and mental checks to mental, just to be sure, just to be on the safe side, a stricter check too.
I just want to raise a point here because Walter is a Second Amendment supporter, and I think there's a big difference into people who actually use guns for sport or hunting, whatever it is, and people who really the only time that they're exposed to guns are through the news and the bad things that people do with them. Walter, just can you explain to the other students up here how you use gun? You use them in a trap team, is that right?
That's correct.
Some of these students up here, and many students are wondering, why do people need guns like this? What is the benefit that law-abiding people would need them for? Can you explain that? Because I think there's some difference, and I think there's some opposition there.
Well, the answer is it really depends a lot on the individual person, because there's a lot of different reasons people have guns. I have a shotgun that I use for trap shooting. It's a sport, with the clay targets, clay pigeons, you might call them, that you shoot at. It's a sport I do with my school, and it's a fun sport, and it's also very safe. There's not been any reported injuries or deaths from the firearms used in it. But other people use guns for many different reasons, besides just target shooting, self-defense, hunting, collecting, or just exercising your Second Amendment rights as being part of the armed citizenry. And the vast majority of those people who have guns aren't going to do anything wrong with them. And so to restrict that would be problematic. And while there might be some measures that we could take that are reasonable, like the gun violence prevention orders, on a whole, regulation to restrict gun rights should be viewed critically and just very cautiously proceed with that, if at all.
But I think, to me, gun control isn't necessarily about, taking away those guns from people and, taking away the right to bear an arm. It's more making it harder, making there stronger regulations to even getting access to a gun.
And I'd say there's some merit to that, people who have been shown that they shouldn't be able to have a gun. And background checks, you already need them to buy one from a firearms dealer. Extending those universally, that'd be fine. As long as there's steps in place to make sure that it's not overly intrusive, right? Or, end up going into violating Fourth Amendment rights, those would be another issue. But.
And what is your view? I'd like to hear from all of you about what you think the Second Amendment means. It gives us that supposed right to be armed, to bear arms. Any of you have thoughts about that? Walter, I'm sure that you do, but I'm wondering if any of the rest of you have thoughts about how that should be interpreted or what does that mean, that we have the Second Amendment? Go ahead.
Well, Damon from North Minneapolis, and as everyone knows, the Second Amendment was made couple hundred years ago. I'm not exactly sure. But it was during a time, no, not that long ago, but it was during a time where they had to, you know, they had to defend themselves from the intruders or whatever. But I'm not totally against bearing arms, but I feel like limiting it is what's most important. And there's no reason why you should be carrying an AR-15 around on your hip, you know, around going to the corner store or something. There's no reason not to, but there's no reason not to not, if that makes sense. But
I would say I don't have any issue with people responsibly bearing arms, and I recognize that the Second Amendment is a part of our Constitution. But at this point, we also all have the right to life. And at this point, there's a lot of times where that right is being taken away by weapons. And another important part of the Second Amendment is that it talks about a well-regulated militia. And so I see no issue with being able to regulate that so that we can protect everyone's inherent right to life. Because right now, yes, there are many, many people, the vast majority of people who own weapons do so responsibly and safely. But there are also people who are having their lives taken away by the fact that we do not regulate guns very much in this country.
Right, I agree. And that's where the universal background checks would come in, and all that other legislative action, which we've been really pushing for. It's really awesome that teenagers have been able to say what they want to say and be heard. But we haven't really seen much concrete action. And one of the reasons that we've been given for that is that it's an election year and the legislators don't want to do anything drastic to reduce their chances of being elected. So I just want to say, like, we are all here. Most of us are going to vote next year if we're old enough, and we're here to watch there be action to see so that everyone can have their right to life, just like Adrian said, to reduce the number of people who die from gun violence.
And I also think that as a democracy, it's a lot about listening to what the people want. And if you look across the nation right now, there are so, so many students that do feel like their right to life is being infringed upon. And the slow and, like, little amount of response that's gotten is upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Well, Damon, I know that you are one of the students who is planning to participate in a national march. And I wanted to ask you about that, about why you think it's important to be there.
Damon from North Minneapolis. And I personally feel the importance because me being a black male from North Minneapolis, from a low economy, I feel like my voice should be heard and my support should be with my peers and with other people. And I feel like my face just being there is a big support enough. And I think it would be a good learning opportunity to learn other people's perspective and learn just a good learning opportunity at that too.
I have a question. We're so focused on the gun part of it. That is the tool that causes this destruction. But the kids, the people who actually commit these crimes, there's something broken about them. And I'd like to know, in your schools, whether it be issues addressing bullying or just be it relationships among students, making sure that people are getting along, for lack of a better term, how is that effort happening in your schools, and do you think that needs to be improved?
I would love more mental health support for students. I think that when we look at this issue, there's a lot of different contributions. I don't think mental health is the only step that needs to be taken, but I would love that if we saw more support for mental health, and there's a lot of legislators who are talking about mental health support, and I would ask them to act on it now. We keep hearing talk, okay, let's fund this then. There's pretty much everyone supports having kids have the essential resources they need to be healthy, successful people. So I would say act on it now.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that as well. The more funds for mental health would probably help actually save funds in the long run as well, because you'd see decreased usage of drugs, people getting into the criminal life and prisons and such. And overall, it's just better to actually target the problem at its source rather than at its symptoms, you know? And that way you can avoid overly broad measures that will target and will end up impacting people besides who it's intended to impact. So mental health funding, I think that is important.
I would partially disagree. Mental health is obviously a really big issue of our time right now, but it's something that's going to take a really long time to change. Right now, we have the whole country is thinking about changing the gun control, the gun laws. So I think we need to work with our legislators now to change these laws now before we forget about it again while kids are still dying.
Do you feel that it's important to keep it on the national radar, that these protests and continuing marches will do that?
Yeah.
To keep the pressure on?
As long as high schoolers are dying, we saw it yesterday, we see it every week, it's happening. As long as this is happening, it's time for us to step up, and we can't let them just forget about it and let the news go on, because it's always going to be happening unless we do something.
Do any of you feel that you have a personal stake in this issue? You talked earlier about not always feeling unsafe in your schools. Any concerns in your communities, or is it, what's the, do you have a personal connection to this issue at all?
I mean, well, I'm on the trap shooting team. You know, I'm not like super big into guns. I just have my one. But there's people who talking about raising the gun buying age to 21, and that really disappoints me because, you know, I'm an adult, I'm a citizen, I should be able to exercise my rights. And buying a rifle, it's not really dangerous. If you look at the numbers, not many people get murdered by rifles. I mean, obviously it's very dramatic and gets a lot of attention, and it's very unfortunate that those tragedies happen, but rifles just really are not that dangerous statistically.
I would say I feel thankful that I do not have a personal connection to gun violence. I've never known someone who was very directly impacted by gun violence. With that being said, though, I was born in 2001, which was post-Columbine shooting, and so all my life I've lived in a country where this has become the norm, and to some extent this is a standard that has been recognized as just something that goes on in this country, and I feel as though it's our duty, all of our duty, but to change this, because I feel that is not how it needs to be. And having had that be my entire life has been this era of this country, I feel as though I have some responsibility to change that for future people.
Right. Our lives are at stake. It's really, it seems like it's such a small number of people who die, but it could be any of us. Whether it's like at my school, we have glass classrooms and we don't really know how to hide if there were an actual situation, or anyone else. I'm sure we all have things that we're not sure about. Gun violence is really, really relevant to today for everyone. So I think we all kind of have a personal stake in it.
And I think it's America's situation is not normal. It's not normal at all. The amount of gun violence we have compared to other countries, and like the amount of regulation we have compared to other countries. And like, we're such an anomaly, and it definitely is something that we need to change. And the fact that we stand out so much, yet a lot of action isn't being taken like on a government level.
In terms of action too, I'd like to quickly circle back to what Walt said about reaching the source of the action when we're talking about mental health. I guess I think it's important to address mental health, but I would disagree that that is the only step we should take, or that that's necessarily the source of the issue, because if we look at gun violence internationally, the United States is far ahead, or is far outpaces other nations in terms of gun deaths and gun massacres that we have. But we are by no means the only country that has mental health issues. We are not the only country that has people who suffer from mental health conditions, but we are the country that has by far the most gun deaths. So I would say that the source of the issue, although mental health contributes to people reaching the point where they would act on this, I would say the source of the issue itself is the fact that they have a weapon.
And kind of responding back to that, you pointed out how there's different countries, you know, that have mental health problems, and some have problems with gun violence, and some don't. But you can also look at countries with relatively open access to firearms, and some of them have gun violence problems, and others don't. Switzerland, for example, you know, not quite as loose as some parts of the U.S., but still much looser than most of the rest of the world, and they have a very low, you know, gun violence rate compared to other countries. I mean, stuff that we would consider assault rifles, they give to their male citizens as part of their conscription, so they all have them. It's not, and they don't have any big problems with it. So I think there's probably other issues at play here as well, such as culture, how the media portrays mass shootings, and so on and so forth, also play an important role.
Well, thank you all very much. Our time has run out. We could obviously spend another hour or so talking about this, but a very thoughtful discussion from all five of you, and I think your parents and everybody else associated with you should be very proud, because it was a very respectful discussion. We'll wrap up this conversation among these Minnesota teens on school shootings, gun violence, and what it's going to take to make them feel safer in their classrooms and communities.
I'd like to a big thanks to our panelists for coming, Damon Brown, Adrian Ali Kakamo, Eva Hagianis, Kari Spencer, and Walter Treat. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your views with us today. And remember, for those in the audience, if you would like to see this session and see these young people, a videotape of the entire conversation and printed excerpts will be in the Star Tribune online and in the newspaper's editorial opinion section beginning on Saturday, March 24th.
And it's also going to be
StarTribune.com.
And also podcast at WCCORadio.com.
That's true. I'm Denise Johnson, along with my co-host Adam Carter from WCCO Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Great conversation with those five high school students. You have been listening to Safe at School, Twin Cities High School Students Speak Out on Guns, a panel hosted by the Star Tribune and WCCO Radio. Thanks for listening. This is Adam Carter.